Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
All right, anyone want to say what's up? Feel free to chime in now.
Hello,
can you hear me? My name's Melanie. I'm in Denver.
Awesome. Welcome.
Thank you. We're launching reusable stainless steel straw gift sets.
Awesome. It's a good market to be in with all the paper and plastic, or the plastic straws going away.
Yeah, it's been really great. And I'm not on Amazon yet, so hoping that just makes it better.
Cool. All right. Anybody else want to jump in real quick?
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. This is Justin. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. Been in private label for about a year now.
Awesome. Welcome, Justin. Cool. Thanks for jumping in. Anybody else want to say what's up? If not, I'll mute everybody. Otherwise we'll talk over each other. What we'll do just for the format moving forward is, if you guys have questions, just like write in the chat, hey, I got a question, and then I'll unmute you. That way we get to actually hear your voice. And if you're, you know, say you're pissed off about be hijacking your listing, we get to hear how angry you are. So that'll be fun. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone, and then we will get started. If somebody has a question, go ahead and jump. Let's see here. Actually, it looks like you can unmute yourself. So if you got a question, all right, looks like first hand up is Justin. So I'm going to unmute you. Justin, you can ask your question. You might hear me typing in the background just so I can make sure that I get your question right, and then we'll go from there. So if you see me head down typing, that's because I'm typing your question down, so I make sure that I don't have to like ask you over and over again.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. And Jonathan just jumped in. Cool. He's the one that gave me the idea for the Q4, Maximize Q4. So thanks for that. All right. Go ahead, Justin.
Okay. So I have a little FBA problem.
Okay.
I send supplements directly from my manufacturer into Amazon, and we had 4 or 5 different ones, and they actually labeled one of the boxes incorrectly. So FBA took it upon themselves. I have the SKU and everything on my supplement, and FBA just slapped the label on top of that. And of course, I'm getting a bunch of customer complaints that, you know, they're receiving the wrong thing and whatnot. So what would be your suggestion on how to rectify that? It's mixed in with stuff that's already there.
Yep.
And it's actually a pretty large quantity. So I tried to open up a seller support ticket. Of course, that's been sitting there for 2 weeks now.
Right.
I thought about just completely removing it and then resorting it myself, but it's going to be quite expensive to do that. I didn't know if Amazon would actually play a part in this at all, or if they just they wouldn't do any kind of investigation.
Yeah. Okay. So what I've learned, you know, I've been doing this since 2013, and you know, I still have issues, you know, with hijackers and things like that. So a couple of things that you can do. One is a great resource for Amazon employees, which nobody thinks of, is LinkedIn. So I have a huge Rolodex of Amazon employees from LinkedIn. If I ever have trouble, I go on LinkedIn and I bitch at them. and so that's one really kind of good way that you can get the attention of people on Amazon. The other way is just like anything, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If I don't get my question answered, I know they say not to do this, but it's a lie. It works. They're like, oh, don't open another ticket. It's just going to take longer. I continuously open tickets. You know, when you go to, don't open like 100 tickets, but when you go to seller support, you know, they give you that option on the left side, like, you know, what's this problem about? And they give you like, you know, FBA account. They give you like a bunch of different options to select. And what I do is I just go to like maybe two or three of the most relevant to my issue, and I open a ticket in each one. If it doesn't get solved, I mean, in the beginning, I just open the one ticket. If it doesn't get solved within like 24 hours, I usually give them, you know, the benefit of the doubt, 24 hours, unless it's something super urgent, like I'm getting hijacked, or in your case, you know, if there's you know, packages that are going out that are the wrong thing, that's when you get some real trouble with your seller metrics and things like that. That's when you go and, you know, go hardcore and open like three or four different tickets in the different categories, because that'll get routed to different people. The other thing you can do is sometimes this works, sometimes it won't. This time of year, they're probably super busy. I don't know if they'll do it. But when you call a call from Amazon, you could say, I want to speak to, you know, whatever department it is. Like, I want to speak to somebody in FBA. If it's a catalog issue, you know, like a listings, like the title screwed up, I want to talk to the catalog team. You know, you got to ask for who you want, or you can say, you know, can I talk to your supervisor? Can this get elevated? Something like that. There's some kind of keywords that you have to use in order to, we got Albert in here. Sorry, buddy. I saw you in the waiting room and I didn't get you in there quick enough. So, sorry about that. You're in now. We were just talking about if you're not getting action from seller support and you have an issue, the original issue, so you have supplements that were boxed. I'm assuming the outer carton that was boxed incorrectly or that was labeled incorrectly, the stuff inside was labeled correctly and now it's mislabeled. So what you're going to have to do, which is going to suck because we've had this happen before, is you have to email seller support and say that you want them to do it's called a bin check. You want to say, I need a bin check on this product. You're mixing up this product, you know, product A and product B. I need you to separate product B and relabel it to the correct labels, and what I do is send them a picture of the item. So like, you know, say it was a water bottle, the exact product. So this is the water bottle. And then I have the SKU sticker on the water bottle that I take a photo with. So I take multiple angles of the product with the sticker, with the correct sticker. And then that way they know exactly which one to sticker the correct thing. What they might do is they might charge you 20 cents a piece to sticker them, even though it was their fault. But, you know, that's kind of what you're going to have to do in order to get that problem resolved. Did that answer it for you, Justin?
Great. Yes.
Cool. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you if somebody else has a question. Today we're only going to do 30 minutes. In the future, I might do an hour. Just today, I wanted to just kind of get everybody used to this format and get myself used to it. I haven't used this type of format before with Zoom, where we can all kind of jump in. So just kind of getting used to it first. Next time, I think next week we'll do an hour. It's like a pretty straightforward. So, okay, who is next? Justin, put your hand down. Your question is answered. All right, I'll lower your hand. I can do it. All right, anybody else got a question? You can either, if you don't have your mic plugged in, it looks like somebody's on the phone. If you can't chime in, just type in the chat. Hopefully, you guys can see the chat in the conference software, the Zoom software. Go ahead and chat. If not, I think there's a way you can raise your hands. And I think you can also unmute yourself. I believe I have it set that way right now. And if nobody wants to ask a question,
I have a quick question.
Please.
I am launching these straw sets. They're little eco bags and they all have fun messages on them.
Uh-huh.
For example, give a shit.
Okay.
Yes. I brought my own straw and I want to do them under variations.
Uh-huh.
But when I look under variations, there's no category for wording. Can I just pick a variation category?
There's a variation called style. That's probably the one I would use.
Okay.
And then, you know, on each variation, you can say, you know, style, and then you can put whatever the quote is as that style, you know, like, I think you said give a shit was one of them. You could say give a ... as
right.
One of the variation titles. And then the next one is, you know, earth rules or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, that you want to do. And then that's how you can set the style variation would probably be what I would use in that case.
Thank you.
Of course. All right. Anybody else? let me know. Again, you should be able to click the mic and unmute yourself.
Hey, quick question. I got two long-time, well-established products. Ran out of stock on one and having a hard time restarting the traffic. I mean, it was something like 15 or 20 a day before it ran out. And someone had suggested combining the two together to get the benefit of both traffic.
Combined meaning parent-child?
Yeah.
Okay.
First off, I've never combined them. I don't think I've combined them after the fact. But would you recommend doing that for the mutually beneficial traffic?
It can work. That can work pretty well. Just make sure that they're, you know, pretty related. Otherwise, Amazon can nail you. They're kind of cracking down on that whole child parents thing. Because
they're brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Well, then no problem. I always say if you can make a product a variation product, do it. Pretty much, I think like 95% of our catalog are variations. And I tell people when they're creating their products, make it a variation from the beginning, just like a parent and a single child. Just because that gives you a lot more flexibility in the future. And it's great for cross promotion. So, you know, if you're like selling, say, you know, a handbag and it's green, it's the only one you got, you know, I mean, I guess that's an easy one because those, you know, things like that would normally come in colors, but something that maybe not wouldn't normally come in a different color or different style, something like that, it still might be a good idea to do those variations so that you can easily tack the new ones on later on. You can do it after the fact. It's just a little more messy. But I definitely suggest trying that. And the thing is when you promote that listing, though, if you have a parent-child product, what a lot of people kind of miss is they try to promote all the children at one time. That's not what you want to do. You want to pick the one that converts the best or that sells the best. Usually the one that converts the best sells the best, so that's not an easy – that's an easy choice. But you want to take the one that's converting or selling the best and just promote that one and just rank for that one, because that what will happen is just by having that relationship, the other variations will automatically get ranked and get pulled up kind of, you know, it's like pushing a you know, when you're a kid, you push your buddy up into the treehouse and then they reach down and pull you up. That's the best way I can explain it is, you know, you bring the other variations with you. But you want to concentrate.
Rising tide raises all ships.
There you go. Yeah, because that one variation then will you want to concentrate on that one variation, because if you spread your marketing out over all those child items, then it's going to dilute that marketing. So, and it's great to talk to you, Jonathan. I've only chatted with you before.
Only a thousand text messages.
Hey, right. That's all right.
Thanks, man.
Hey, no problem. Great talking to you. And anybody else want to jump in? All right, Jimmy. All right, you're unmuted, buddy.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, awesome. I'm coming out of Denver here as well. I run a couple different items out of FBA, mainly in sporting goods.
Okay.
But kind of one of the big questions that we have is that we also deal with a lot of other third parties fighting after kind of some of the similar items.
Uh-huh. So like hijackers, you mean?
Hijackers and competition. Technically we're kind of all approved to sell. So,
okay.
I guess we're all kind of hijackers in that regard.
So you're doing like wholesaling or retail arbitrage, I'm guessing.
Correct. Okay. But so one of the curious things that we've just been battling a lot is what tools, what software, what kind of strategies do you use to keep the buy box as long as you can?
Yeah.
And to help kind of monitor what everyone else is doing on the items and what you're working on?
Yes. So there's a few different platforms that'll let you do that. I think Sellex is one of them. We're actually building some tools like that into Seller SEO next year. We actually have like four or five tools that we're hoping to push out the door, but we don't want to go too wide. We want to kind of perfect what we have going now and then slowly add stuff. You know, we don't want to get too crazy in that. Amazon actually has built-in repricing and it works fairly well. It's a little bit clunky. It's a little bit hard to learn and it's a little bit clunky, but for the most part, it gets the job done. What you want to be careful, you know, what you want to be careful with by doing that though is it's a race to the bottom. You know, if you put that repricer on, so you're always getting the buy box, and your competitors all have that repricer on, then all of you are just going to go down to, you know, $5 or $10 or whatever your, you know, whatever your minimum range is. And so that doesn't really help anyone. I've never really done wholesaling or retail arbitrage. And so when people ask me these questions, I'm really not an expert on it, because, and if it's working for you, awesome. Me personally, I just can never grapple promoting somebody else's product. You know, why am I going to market? Why am I going to put somebody else's product out there when I can go source it myself, probably get it for cheaper, have a bigger profit margin, and then see the gain at the end. You know, I always use like Under Armour. Nobody knew who Under Armour was. It was like this one guy who paid some baseball player, I think it was like 10 grand to wear his you know, t-shirt that said Under Armour on it. And that's all it took. And it just took off like wildfire. The upside is so much bigger on private label. I know that it's cheaper and easier to get into and kind of learn the ropes, but to me, it's like throw yourself into the fire. If you've ever seen my YouTube channel, I talk about a sourcing strategy that I used a ton when I first started out, which I didn't even know was a strategy at the time, but looking back was pretty awesome. Is I would go to AliExpress and I would, you know, instead of going, you know, everybody makes a mistake when they do private label to go to Alibaba right away or whoever they're sourcing from, and get like 1,000 units. And then they put it up there and then they're stuck. It doesn't move. And they're like, oh crap, I just spent $5,000 and now I can't get rid of this product. What we did is we literally would just source like 10 products at a time on AliExpress and throw up 10 listings. And then test it and see. And if one took off, boom, and it sold really quickly, go, cool, there we go. Product test. Like, we know there's a demand for it. We know that we can sell, you know, at least 10 of them fairly quickly. We know that the PVC may not be super expensive on those products. And so then we go to Alibaba and then brand it and then, you know, source 1,000 or 5,000 or, you know, whatever else we wanted to do. And so that's, you know, that's kind of what we would do there. Now back to your question. I guess I kind of went off on a tangent there and I'm sorry for that.
No, that's good.
In that case, I would just use the built-in Amazon repricer and try not to race to the bottom. You can also, if you're doing any type of marketing that's not PPC, if you don't have the buy box on Amazon, you can use a URL with your merchant ID in it, which I'm sure you know, to send people directly to your individual offer on the Amazon listing. So what you could do is you could build like a WordPress website or a ClickFunnels page or something with that product and market it beforehand. So people know the price, can read the details, can see the photo, everything before they get to Amazon. And then when they click through the Amazon, they're already seeing your offer and then they add it to the cart and buy it that way. If I were you, that's how I would do it rather than try to compete on price. Cause like I said, you're just going to race to the bottom.
Gotcha. No, that's awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Nice talking to you. Have a great one.
Can you explain the two-step URL and why it's so important?
Hey, Kyle. Nice to talk to you. So what the two-step URL does is it simulates a search. So the reason why it's so important and why I tell everyone, if you're doing any type of marketing that's coming from off of Amazon, whether it's like Facebook, influencers, anything, you always want to use a two-step. The reason for that is the reason it's called a two-step URL, which people don't really get, is it's not going directly to the product page. It goes to a landing page that is a search result, but you're filtering that search result to only show your product. So when they click through on your product, that's the only one listed, it loads your product page with a timestamp and with the keyword and everything. So it looks to Amazon like the person searched Amazon, found your product, and then clicked through it, and then you get credit for that keyword. If you go directly to a product, you can put a keyword in that URL, but to Amazon, it's not going to look like a natural search. It's going to look like a link that somebody posted off of Amazon just to go straight to the product. So it's not going to carry as much weight.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. No problem. Anybody else? All right. We got about 9 minutes left. If anybody else thinks of any follow-up questions, go ahead and write it down so that you don't forget it. And then I'm just going to go through real quick. Jonathan suggested doing a quick rundown on how to maximize the kind of the last part of Q4. And so here's some ways you can do it. They're not crazy, once you hear them, they're sort of common sense, but you may not have thought of them. So some of the things that we do, and let me put this on the screen so it doesn't look like I'm looking away from all you guys. Some of the things you want to do is when you're sending offsite traffic, if your product is giftable, which this time of year is you know really important, and if it's not giftable, you can still there's an art of kind of manipulating your listing, and manipulate sounds like a bad word, but crafting your listing, I like that better. Crafting your listing so that it makes it sound giftable. So like say somebody mentioned that they are doing supplements. Maybe craft it like, you know, this is the best gift of health that you can give to your loved one, you know, or whatever. Craft the listing in a way that makes people, it may not be a giftable item, but changes their perception to think that it's a giftable item. Do that. The next thing you want to do is actually use keywords that people this time of year are using. So people are kind of, especially people that are waiting this long are last minute people, which I am super guilty of this. I haven't even bought one gift yet. And this is me every year, you know, it's like prime, thank God I can get it in 2 days, you know? And that's why, you know, that's why you get that crazy burst of sales from like the 15th to like the 20th, just because there's so many people are waiting till the last minute. But, bid for, keywords like last minute gift for mom, last minute gift for dad, last minute gift for brother, all those kinds of things, and include the word or the phrase last minute in that. Same thing if you're driving traffic from off of Amazon, make sure that's in your two-step URL, last minute gift for mom, if that's something you're going to target. And go all in. Like I said, don't spread your marketing too thin. If last minute gift for mom is kind of the keyword that you think will convert really well for your product, kind of pick somebody or pick kind of like a target demographic and then go hard on that one phrase so that you can try to rank for that. Another thing you can do is like last minute is hire an influencer. Like, you know, say you're selling like baby goods. Lots of people sell baby stuff. You go and find like a mommy influencer and you say, hey, I'm going to give you these two free products. I'm going to pay you $100 to your audience, and you can give them guidance usually if you're paying them to be an influencer. Say, hey, do a last minute gift guide using, these three products that I sell. And then they can do that last minute gift guide. Then you can post that to if they do it on YouTube or whatever, you can promote that video on YouTube. You can promote that video or post that video to Facebook and do an ad, things like that. And then that looks super natural and it gets people like excited about the product. So that's something else you can do. Another kind of trick that we use that works really well is you want to add holiday keywords, not only in the front end, but in the back end too. So if there's stuff that like you can't fit in the front end that you think might be important, like last minute gifts for mom, something you can put in the back end, either in the keyword or the subject fields. Another really good way to do this is use our Chrome extension. If you haven't got it yet, it's free. It only works for the US Seller Central right now. Hopefully in the next few months, we're going to roll it out to all the marketplaces. If you don't have it yet, it's tiny.cc/KW tool. So tiny.cc/KWTOOL. It's a Chrome extension. You just install it. It's super easy. But that will give you actual search volume of the keywords and then the competition. And so you want to look for, of course, keywords that have high volume, low competition. So that's definitely something you want to start researching your holiday keywords right now and kind of going, going really hard on those keywords. Raise your PPC bids right now. I didn't add that. I'm going to add that. I just thought of that. And that sounds counterintuitive, but this time of year, your ACOS could actually go down by increasing your bid because so many, just the sheer volume and the amount of people searching for things. If you increase your bid, you might actually get more sales, and your ACOS will either stay steady or could decrease. Like a lot of our campaigns, I looked yesterday, we got a big decrease, in all our holiday related, keywords and marketing. So that's something you really want to think about, doing. Of course, what I do is test, excuse me, if you're doing a new campaign, especially right now, spooling it up, you could blow through your campaign in like, a minute if you bid too high. So what I'll generally do is set like a low, for me, a low campaign budget would be $20. Depends on, if you're doing, if you're a smaller seller, it might be $5, $10, whatever, works for you. And then you want to test it, start in the morning and then watch and make sure that you don't budget out by like, 10 a.m. If you do that, then you want to decrease the bid And then raise the campaign budget. You know, you want to do those two things simultaneously. That way you'll get more traffic for less money. Another thing you can do is if you only have items at FBA, and then you have, but you also have some items that are sitting in your warehouse or in your garage. Something you might want to do is enable seller fulfilled Prime, or you don't even have to do that. But you can do that if you have the capability of shipping from your own location. If you can't do that, if you can't do the seller fulfilled Prime, which makes you ship really quickly, then just leave it as a regular seller fulfilled item. But kind of a technique that we use is on our FBA offer, we do say it's like $19.99, and then our other offer we do it like $22.99 or $24.99. We make our other offer higher, even though we're the same seller. It gives that that impression of like they're getting a deal. We also do a coupon on our FBA item so that it looks like people are like, oh, okay, this other person is selling it for $25. Here it's $19.99. Cool, I'm getting a deal. So that's kind of a trick you can do as well. So yeah, those are kind of the techniques that we use this time of year to kind of really push, push our sales and traffic. We go super hard on offsite traffic this time of year just because we want to rank for our holiday keywords. And a lot of times offsite traffic is cheaper than Amazon PPC, and you can drive a lot of offsite traffic this time of year. And that especially helps for ranking keywords. All right, we're right at the 30-minute mark. I don't think Zoom automatically kicks me out, but we'll see. If we hit 30 minutes and it kicks us out, we know next time I might want to extend it. But let's hopefully see if we can stay on here. If there's any follow-up questions to kind of what I just talked about or anything else I didn't cover, jump in now, and I'll be happy to answer it.
What do you think of adding red bows to the primary image?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I know a ton of people do it, and you probably won't get in trouble for it. But to me, I don't know if it's worth it this time of year, because if you get nabbed by Amazon and they take down your image or take down your listing for a violation, the problem with doing that is, you know, competitors are super ruthless, especially this time of year. If they see your little red bow, they're going to, you know, that they're going to report you immediately. I don't know if it's worth it.
Got it.
I know that a lot of people add extra images to their main image, which, yeah, if you don't know, is against, Jonathan, yes. I know you know, but I don't know if everybody else here knows, it's against TOS. Tons and tons of people do it, especially by certain categories. Like if you go into a certain category and you do a search, you know, it's like, kitchen shears was one of the ones I remember seeing, like every single one had like these bonus, you know, things. And then like these banners that almost made it look like the Amazon Choice banner and all those kinds of things. We stay away from that just because, you know, in the past we've tried that on a few items, and, you know, like I said, competitors immediately jump on it, and then you get in the hassle with Amazon. They give you a violation, and, you know, it's usually not a big violation. You probably won't get your account closed, but it, to me, it's just not worth it.
Quick question on your adding those keywords, pretty much long tail keywords, like, you know, best gift for coworker, your last minute gift for mom.
Sure.
Do you use the entire phrase in the listing, and then you just use the segments like coworker, mom, dad, gift in the back end?
In the back end, how we normally do it, I know everybody's got a different theory on this. What's worked really, really well for us is we, of course, keep the keyword field as individual keywords, so not phrases. But then the subject matter field, we put in phrases that we're really, really trying to target. So if we have it on the front end, we also duplicate it on the back end in the subject keywords with that same phrase. And I don't know if you've seen my videos and things like that. One of our best-selling holiday item, we did that for, you know, a bunch of the keywords that we really want to target. We're like, in the last few days, we're between the second, actually we had the first result the other day, but we've been ranked anywhere from the first result to the fourth result for like the last like 2 weeks on one of the top holiday keyword search terms. So you can imagine we're doing some serious volume there. So it's working really well for us. You know, depending on the category, and there's so many different variables in Amazon, as you know, there's no guarantee, but that's working for us.
Awesome.
Hey, Andy, I have a question.
Please.
Are you saying to rewrite your title to put?
No, don't keep your old title, but like, say for example, you know, like the example I used, like last minute gift for a mom. See, you're really, really trying to get that keyword. So the way Amazon works now, in the past, you know, the whole theory was never repeat, only use individual keywords, things like that. That doesn't work anymore since Amazon changed the algorithm. It's much more relevancy based now. It's more like Google was like 5 years ago. So there's something called keyword stuffing. You don't necessarily want to do that. It looks spammy, but you want to make sure that your most important phrase is at least in your title. And so what we do personally, I'll tell you exactly how we do it, that way, you know, you guys can test it. But what works really, really well for us is we'll put our main phrases in our title, and then we'll do our main phrases in at least two, but usually three of our bullet points if it's really important, say like the top 10 phrases we want to make sure that we're ranked for. You don't generally want to go more than like two or three times in the bullet points though, because then Amazon, you can actually get a negative effect if you get too spammy. And then once again, in the description, we usually write it out at least one time, but generally like up to about three times. And so if you do that, then you should really get some good relevancy for those keywords or those phrases.
So you're saying add to bullet points and add to description, but keep the title the same.
Well, you want the important phrase up here in your title. So my main point here is repeat your important phrases. In your title, you don't have much room. So you might want to just pick your most important phrase and then add additional keywords to support that main phrase.
When you're talking about like last minute gift for the category I'm in now, you're talking about last minute gift for kids.
Okay.
I could add it to my title.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I might not put it at the absolute beginning. But I would say like, you know, straw set, great last minute gift for kids. You know, as like, so your phrases, because I don't know if everybody knows this, but phrases get weighted more the more, if they're in the front of the title or the bullet points or the description. So the phrases that come earlier in those fields will get more importance in Amazon's eyes. So you definitely want it, you know, as close to the beginning of the title as possible. So in your case, if you said last minute gift for kids, you definitely want that, you know, towards the beginning of the title. Then you want to make sure in your bullet points, you mention at least, you know, one, two, or even three of the bullet points. You want to make sure you repeat that phrase.
Okay.
You can always put supporting. So instead of great last minute gift for mom, you could say like best last minute gift for mom in the bullet points. So in other words, as long as you're carrying that main phrase through, it's actually good to kind of put different supporting words on either side of it.
Okay. So like instead of just best last minute gift for kids, I could do hot last minute gifts for kids or.
Right. So in other words, yeah. In the bullet points and in the other parts, you can do different kind of supporting keywords. Cause that actually might, you know, might be something that's, hey Amy, welcome. Let's see if I can, unmute Amy. All right, there we go. How's it going, Amy?
Hi, how's it going?
Good. All right. So, did I answer your question there?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure.
And just when the season's over, to go back to our old
stuff. Right. Yes, absolutely. So when the season's over, yeah, you want to make sure you change your listing back to pre-holiday optimization.
Okay.
Yeah. But what you might want to do is start getting creative. So you're saying it's a straw set for kids. Was that?
Well, straw sets are new. They aren't up yet. Our kids' hats and pillowcases.
Okay. So
straw
maybe
sets are not even launched yet.
Yeah. So what you might want to think about in that case, and what a ton of people don't think about or realize is it's the holidays 24/7, 365 for somebody. You know, there's something called a birthday. People always forget about birthdays. Birthdays are also an awesome category that you can market for year round. So you could say, you know, makes an awesome birthday gift, you know. I don't know if straws, maybe for a 3-year-old or you know, who knows. I don't know if how giftable it can be. Just giving you kind of a sense of
best last minute gift, not best last minute Christmas gift or holiday gift. Just best.
Right. You can make it more generic, but you can be really creative on who you target in that sense.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. And good luck on the new item.
Thanks.
Sure. Anybody else? All right.
So, Andy, I have another thing to add on that last conversation that sure. You guys were just having.
Do you have your video on?
I don't. Whoa, I don't. Okay, hang on. Let me start video. Hey,
you don't have to. I just let me see if I can get you there. There we go. Hey, Amy. So Amy and I are gonna partner on a podcast, or I'm actually gonna talk to her. I just got some good ideas about that starting next year. So anyway, I'm glad you jumped in. So you guys, if you don't know Amy,
hey everybody.
Amy, it sounds like you don't know that you're partnering on that podcast.
No, I just
she knows. We both just really busy. We've both just been really, really busy. It's Q4, you know, so we're both digging our heels in.
We're trying to like nail down all of our content and everything, and both of us are growing our own communities, so we're just getting going. And the problem with me and Andy is both of us are like super brains when it comes to like, okay, let's do this, and we try to go after everything. So where my look of surprise was when he was like, oh, and I actually need to talk to you about that because I have this other idea. I'm like, okay, Andy, I got it.
See, this is where we're going to be. Look how fancy that is.
Yes. I'm so down for that.
All right, I'm gonna leave it here. So this can be all of us, everybody in this room, with the help of the coaching. This is we'll be sitting here next year.
So I just wanted to mention to Melanie, I only heard the last part of that conversation about the gifts, right? Like makes a great gift. But something else that I have done in the past is if I really want to sell out of some of my products, what I'll do is bundle them with another popular item. So I'll go to like DHgate or something like that, bundle it with another popular item, and then suddenly it's the best birthday gift you've ever seen.
So can I do that? Just add a new SKU for that as a gift set?
Exactly. Well, you can ask Amazon to like, you can create a new SKU and ask Amazon to cleave your listing. Or you can just, what I do is I'll just buy like a bunch of UPCs from Snap UPC. And of course my regular private label items, my normal items, like I of course use GS1, but for little bundles like that, I'll just test out with regular UPCs. And I did that with, I'm in the pet niche, and I did that with some cat toys, pretty saturated market, but bought a bunch of cat stockings, like Christmas stockings, and I put cute cats on them, and I stuffed my cat toys in there, and I sold out in like a month. So it was a really great way to get rid of extra stock and make a little extra money too.
Yeah. So you don't need, and just everyone real quick, what we did, and this is why I always tell everyone, they're like, what should I do when I'm getting started? Get your brand registry immediately, because then you don't need that. Then you can just like, we literally we'll test products constantly. So we have like, I think in our catalog right now, we have like 700 SKUs. So that gives you an idea of how many SKUs we constantly add new stuff and test it. And if we had to deal with, you know, getting a UPC for everything, it would just be such a pain in the ass, pardon my French, but it would be. So brand registry is super important. It protects your brand, you know, gives you benefits, you know, like headline search, things like that. Definitely worth it. So if you've been kind of on the fence, if you're serious about your Amazon business, go get your trademark and get brand registered like ASAP.
Amy, one last question. Can Amazon pack those two items separately for me as one bundle, or do I need to send them in together?
Ooh, I'm not sure. I have my own warehouse, so I just pack my own stuff together. I'm an old RA seller, so I'm kind of used to doing that. But maybe Andy can answer that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on your setup, but generally if you're dealing with a manufacturer and you say, hey, I want this accessory, they'll go get it for you. They'll source it for you. So, I mean, we have, at this point, we have our own staff in China now that does it for us. We just tell them, hey, we want this bundle, go get it. And they do it. But if you're not at that point yet, which I know a lot of you might not be, what we used to do is, you know, you'd contact the manufacturer and say, hey, I want this. But I all want it bundled with this, and they'll actually go out and find a nearby manufacturer in their area, unless it's something not like super unrelated. Like if it's like an auto part and something else, like in China, they're very regional in their manufacturing, so it might not be as easy that way. But generally, if they're going to get business from you, they'll do it. They'll go source it for you and package it and do it. Like we don't, you know, we don't touch any of our products. Our products literally go from China to FBA. We never touch them. Once in a while, like during Christmas time, we'll get some backup stock in our warehouse because we do seller fulfilled prime. because we, like this year, we got a discount of 60% for doing Seller Fulfilled Prime. So we do Seller Fulfilled Prime this time of year, and we have backup stock just because like one of our products right now is like selling like crazy. We're going to stock out probably in like 2 days. And luckily we knew this was one of, you know, this is our best selling item. So we have backup stock in our warehouse. And this time of year, if you try to send it to FBA, it's kind of a crapshoot because it, depending on the fulfillment center, it might take them like a week to check it in and then you miss all those sales.
Right.
So that's why we have it in our warehouse, but yeah, they'll do it for you. And it's really not hard if it's going by air. So if it's a lighter item and it's going by air, so it's like FedEx, UPS, DHL, whatever. A lot of people don't know this is you can literally send the FBA shipment to your manufacturer and say, slap this on the box and send it to this address, not my address. And they'll do it. Now, I don't recommend this if they've never done it before, but most manufacturers in China these days have done it. So you just say, hey, I don't want to touch the product. I mean, make sure you get samples and make sure it's you're trusting the first order. It's not to do, don't do it on the first order. Give it your place on the first order. Make sure the quality is good. Then the second order, you might want to do it that way.
Okay. Thank you.
And in this case, like, you know, I already had these in my warehouse local. So of course, you know, but I did reach out to my supplier and ask her if she had a really great, you know, a Christmas stocking, and she only really, they're in the pet area. So they only really had access to the really cheap looking, like netted ones. And none of those were what I wanted. I wanted more of a high end so I could get that higher price. So that's why I went to DHgate and got a really cool stocking that, you know, and it turned out to be that differentiation that set me apart from all those other pet sellers that were selling the mesh stockings. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's, that is a great point as far as what Annie's saying that, you know, just work with your supplier. I mean, mine just sent me a whole bunch of samples for me to develop, you know, some new stuff, and I've been working with them for a couple years. So they're usually happy to do it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-mm. All right, Justin. Justin's unmuted and eating loudly. Sorry, dude. Got to call you out. Did you have another question, Justin? You want me to mute you? There we go. That snack sounds delicious.
Sorry about that.
No worries. No worries, man. All right. Anybody else?
What was the tropical background? Where was that?
it was a Pixabay special.
Hi. What you said. I love the tropics.
I could dig out some of my Hawaii. I don't know if everybody here knows. I grew up in Hawaii. I got lots of those pictures of my own, but you know, it's with my kid, you know, in the background. So
from North Dakota to Hawaii,
probably playing with his sand toys.
From North Dakota to Hawaii.
Yes. Yeah. So if you guys want to hear my backstory, it's a pretty interesting one. I've had quite the long life at the age of 40, almost 41. If you haven't listened to the podcast, Awesomers, it's awesomers.com. I actually did, you know, fairly long interview there. Yes, I did. I grew up in Hawaii and went to college in North Dakota. So that's why I walk around today. It's funny. I'm in California now. I'm in Northern California. You know, it's like 50 degrees out today and I'm walking around, you know, my t-shirt and people like always give me like weird looks. And I was like, I grew up in Hawaii and then I spent 6 years in North Dakota. This, you know, this 50 degrees is nothing. I remember in North Dakota when it cracked like, you know, 40 degrees right towards the end of winter, we'd be outside in our shorts. So I've got a pretty good tolerance for cold and hot weather.
I'm the opposite. I'm from Wisconsin and I hate the cold. I moved to Texas from Hawaii and right now it's like 50 degrees in Texas and I'm miserable. So Andy,
my wife's the same way. So she's never leaving California. I've tried.
Oh no, I was going to say we need to make sure that tropical background becomes reality soon. Oh, no.
I told you we're getting our house either in Hawaii or in the Philippines in the next year or two. Mark it down.
Down.
All right, anybody else? All right. I don't think so. Either everyone's shy or we're done. Oh, all right. We will. All right, I'm sorry if I butcher your name. Is it Mookie?
Yep,
Mookie. Hear me? All right, I can hear you.
Yeah,
nice to talk to you in person.
Yeah, we talked on mails and stuff.
Yes.
So I know you're doing a lot of stuff on Google advertising.
Yep.
Using Google advertising.
Uh huh.
And I'm not doing anything on Google. Just mostly Amazon PPC and some Facebook. So give us a few tips about how useful do you think Google can be to, I'm not sure, to replace PPC or to increment PPC.
Sure. Yeah. And how? All right. So I'm gonna do some self-plugging, which I'm gonna try to keep at a minimum on this coaching roundtable. So Seller SEO has a tool called Traffic Titan, and it's kind of it came about by accident. It was kind of like, I was like, man, I got so tired of going into Google and creating all these ads, and it took so long, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. So initially, I actually built that tool for myself. Actually, pretty much the entire Seller SEO suite I built for myself because I was getting so frustrated with the current tools that were out there, just wouldn't do what I needed them to do. There's a new Amazon tool every day. So, you know, it's hard to sift through it. But with our tool, like the main thing I wanted to build was something that was like super easy to use, but really powerful. So it's like, if you're a beginner, it works really well. If you're advanced, it works really well, just because it saves so much time and it kind of gives you the expertise that, you know, people like me who have been selling on Amazon for a long time, it's kind of baked in. All right. Anyway, enough with the sales thing. But so what Traffic Titan does is it builds campaigns that target keywords using two-step URLs. There's different types of two-step URLs. In a future, coaching session, we'll maybe go over like really specific on all the different two-step URLs and what they're good for and which ones to use and things like that. But the reason why, number one, everybody's like, when you go to any Amazon, training or forums or Facebook groups, all they're talking about is Facebook ads. Everyone's just like, oh my God, Facebook, you have to use Facebook. You have to use ManyChat. You have to do all this. Go ahead and do it. We tested it thoroughly and the return on investment is not there. You're just going to piss money away. you're going to need Amy's scooper solution to scoop out all the poopy results you're going to get from the spend you're going to do on Facebook. So, Google is underutilized. People used to use, and people kind of got to the point where Facebook is now, where it got super expensive. So people jumped off of Google and went to Facebook. Now it's the other way. Now everybody's using Facebook and nobody's using Google. So, I mean, for example, I'm getting, just for example, on this best-selling product that I love to talk about because it makes us, I love it because it's like my wife and I are like, 70% of our business comes, in the last like 4 months, especially from this one product. So it's insane. But the reason I like to talk about it so much is I'm paying 1 penny per click to the product right now from Google. 1 penny. Every day I'm getting about 3,000 clicks to that listing.
And they're going to your listing?
Correct, to a two-step URL. So that's just to give you an example.
So do you see this in sessions in Amazon?
You do not. See, that's the beauty of a two-step URL. That's why people use two-step URL. A lot of the biggest mistake that people make with those two-step URLs or with URLs is they send people directly to their product listing, and that's where your sessions get screwed. If you get 3,000 people going to your listing and not buying, then your sessions are screwed. If they're going to a search page that has your product, if they're not interested, they're just going to click away from that page. They're not going to actually go and view the product. If they do go and view the product, there's at least some intent there, so they're more likely to convert. In our case, we've tested this over and over again. There's only benefits for sending traffic to the listing using two-step URLs.
Okay. So you're getting thousands of clicks, 1 penny clicks using the...
Yep.
And your Google ads are for the equivalent keywords that you are targeting on PPC, or?
So right now on that product, I'm targeting, because I've already ranked for so many keywords, because I was, I started kind of with a wide net, and then I started to see what I ranked for, and then I started to see volume, and then I started to see, what was working ranking wise, and then I doubled down on those keywords. So then I went from, like, I think I started with about 12 keywords, now I'm down to, I went down to 10, and now I'm down to 8. So I'm just focusing on those 8 key or phrases, not keywords, phrases. I never target a single keyword. It won't do anything for you. So phrased. So, so yeah, so targeting those phrases now, we're getting, like I said, I should look at my ads yesterday. I think it was like 3,500 clicks to that product. And like I said, we're ranked anywhere between the first result to the fourth result for one of the most sought after phrases for Christmas time.
And Andy, if I can just put this plug in here, I started with Andy's Titan tool. I was one of the first users of it. And it's tripled my sales. And I was able to completely stop my Amazon PPC. Now I just use Cover All campaigns. And not only that, but I am a coach, right? A consultant. And I've helped several people launch. And we use the Google Ads campaigns. And they have seen incredible results that their competitors are not seeing. And the reason is because their competitors aren't on Google.
Yep.
It's so cheap. My average cost per click is 11 cents. Try that on Amazon. You're not going to get there. Yep. So what that allows you to do is grow your audience and grow your ranking and your BSR through Google Ads. But then what it allows you to do is really focus your Amazon PPC on those razor sharp keywords, long tail keywords that you know are going to convert for that cheaper amount, right? Versus spending so much in auto campaigns and everything like that. Now, of course, auto campaigns and things like that are important when you're launching, but after that, you need to back off so you can start making some money, right? And Google Ads is the perfect way to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Great to talk to you in person. This is a really awesome format. I'm enjoying this. Because I've chatted with many of you guys, you know, over like Facebook Messenger, email, things like that. This is much more personable. So I'm definitely enjoying this format a lot.
I know your intent isn't to do, you know, to do expose on the Titan, but I had not done, you know, I did AdWords 100 years ago and had not done it a long time. And so I've put a bunch of Titan campaigns in, and honestly, Google just started driving me nuts with all the suggestions, and it turned out to be a lot of maintenance after the fact. Is there a good tool for managing that, or any secrets for?
So what do you mean by suggestions after the fact? Like they're giving you like notifications or something, or?
Yeah. They're saying, you know, here's, you know, 25 other words, great words to use, and, you know, considered, you know, turning these into a separate campaign and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that much maintenance.
No, you don't have to. And Google will do those kinds of things all day long. It's just like, you know, on Facebook when you post something in, like if you have a Facebook page where it's like, hey, you could boost this post for, you know, $10 and 30,000 more people, the BS that Facebook says, which is never nearly the amount of people that'll actually see it.
They're just trying to help you spend your money.
Exactly. They're just trying to get you to spend more. You don't, right. I mean, there is some maintenance you can do. So here's the few things that you might have to do after the fact. One of the things you might have to do is change your bids. If you're burning through your budget super early in the day, all you need to do is reduce your bids. In Google, you can, you know, use the select all button. You go to edit and you can bulk change all the bids at one time, or you can just change the campaign bid, the ad group bid, and that'll change all the keywords. Now, what you want to look for is the performing keywords, the ones that you're getting the most clicks for the cheapest price. If those are, the click-through rates fairly well are fairly good. And you're getting a lot of clicks through that, then, you know, that's when you might want to look at getting rid of, some of the keywords. I would not add keywords, unless it's, you know, unless those keywords are really, really relevant. In the case of Titan and the Google Ads, you don't want some super fringe stuff that's not super relevant to your product. Because that won't get you the kind of conversions that you want. You know, if you're throwing up the keywords in Google that are like not, you know, are like single words or things like that, they're probably not going to get you much. So you want to try to stick with the stuff that's relevant, that's giving you a lot of clicks. Get rid of the stuff that's, you know, not performing or that's not super relevant. And then just like on Amazon, what I tell people is if your budget's being blown early in the day, reduce bids, raise your campaign spend. You do those simultaneously, and that way you get more clicks for less money.
So make that last statement again.
You want to. So if you're budgeting out, it's just like on Amazon PPC. So like if you wake up at 10 a.m., hopefully, well, 10 a.m. If you log in Amazon at 10 a.m., if you're sleeping until 10 a.m., God bless you. I wish I could do that. My kids have me up at 6 a.m. these days, 5:30. You know. Woo. Anyway, whenever you're logging into your Amazon account, you know, say it's like at 10 a.m. and you've seen that your budget's, you know, spent, then that's where you want to reduce your click bid. So in other words, you want to lower your bids on your keywords and then raise your budget. So does that make sense? So that means that you're going to get more clicks for less money because you're going to increase the budget and lower the clicks. And then you want to keep doing that process over and over again until you've maxed out your budget, meaning that your budget never gets spent. It looks like somebody, we have a late attendee. Welcome, welcome. I'm going to post, I recorded this, so hopefully I can figure out how to repost it on Facebook and YouTube after this, so people who joined us later or didn't join us can watch it. But anyway, you want to max out your budget. You want to get to the point where you're never, ever running out of budget. And how you do that is by reducing bid, raising budget. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thanks.
Of course. My pleasure. Anybody else?
The other cool thing about Google Ads is that you can have like a $5 budget a day and it goes so far because the clicks are so cheap. So that's just incredible when I see like my Amazon campaigns running out, you know, at $20 a day, they're running out and, you know, and you got to do so much optimization and the Google optimization is fairly easy.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily recommend turning PPC off. I wouldn't like use this as a replacement. In Amy's case, I shouldn't say that. It depends on your niche. If your PPC on Amazon is super expensive, like $5 a click or something like that, I wouldn't even bother. But if your PPC costs are relatively, you know, if you're getting a decent ACoS, then, you know, just reduce your bids. You know, get to the point where you have your PPC on, but you're getting like a 5% or 10% ACoS, which, P.S., if you guys haven't tried the new product targeting, it takes a lot of time to sift through the products that are converting, but jump on that right now. I've been getting like crazy, like 5%, 2%. I mean, I actually had I think the lowest ACoS I've ever seen was like 1.2% on product.
I got a 1.4 today. Yeah. I was like, yes. Yeah.
So the problem is it's going to take a while to sift through. So if you start them now, it might take you 3 or 4 or 5 days to get the initial data to start reducing bids on ones that aren't converting, raising bids on ones that are converting. But jump into that. If you haven't created a product campaign yet on PPC on Amazon, do that immediately because the return on investment, the ACoS is like crazy right now.
The other thing with my PPC, I still run PPC. I just do more of the lower bid, like cover all campaigns, right? Yep. And then of course I just did the product targeting and I loved the results of that. And of course I still always do PPC launch, everything like that. This is more for like long-term strategy, way back off of it. But yep. I also definitely recommend you fully optimize your Amazon PPC. I just see a lot of people spending a lot of money and not making any money over the long run.
Yeah, the Facebook groups with 180% ACoS. Yeah, I know. Those are rough. And the thing is when you're launching, there's two different, like people don't really get this, but there's two kind of ways to look at ACoS and your return on investment on PPC. One is when you're first launching, you might have 130% ACoS because there's that settling in period where you need to learn what works. It's just like any ad platform. But once you start, you know, once you're within like a week or two, that's when you start needing, you know, you need to start turning dials. If you're a seller SEO user, we've got a couple of tools that help you optimize automatically and build campaigns too. But if you don't want to do that, then, you know, then you're going to have to teach yourself how to go in and optimize and reduce bids and raise bids and those kinds of things. All right. Anybody else?
I'm going to ask one more on the Google ads. Are you getting those cheap traffic from the long tails? Or because, you know, I put in everything it recommended. And, you know, I was actually getting some good expensive traffic, but there was a lot of long tail cheap traffic.
Well, yeah. So you need to attach. So like in Amy's case, since she has a cat product, the keyword, broad keyword cat on Google would actually probably work pretty well because it's a cat related product. So it depends on your product and your niche. So I shouldn't say never use a single word keyword. I guess that's not great advice. Definitely use a single keyword if it's you know, pretty relevant, but test it. You know, like if it's a single word and it's getting tons of traffic and it's super cheap, then definitely why not use it? You know, test it, see what happens. You know, you're getting more and more traffic to your listing. That's never a bad thing. As long as you're using two-step, of course. All right, guys. Well, we're at the hour mark. I actually need to get some other work done. So if you got any last minute stuff, please jump in now. If not, we're going to, like I said, I'm going to try to do this every week. Yeah, I think this is a really, really kind of fun format. I love the Q&A. I love that I actually get to hear you guys. In the future, if you guys have your camera set up, if you want to jump on video-wise, that would also be super fun. I didn't do it this time because I know that some of you are shy, or you know, you might have your Dorito wrapper in the background, or your kids running around, or something like that. You know, I know a lot of people don't like to be seen. I know that before I started my own business and realized that you really have to put yourself out there in order to get people to notice you and to actually get the word out on your products and what you're doing. I was pretty camera shy, so I'm getting better at it. But it's just like anything, you know, you gotta practice, make sure, you know, do the booger check before you get on, things like that. And if you have a booger, oh well. anyway, I'm gonna unmute everybody just so everybody can if they wanna, you know, chime in before they go. Like I said, I'm going to try to do another one of these next week. I'm going to try to make it a point and, you know, hopefully we'll have a schedule. So every week you'll know the place and time. I think what I'll do is I'll put a poll up in the Titan group and then people can vote on what time works best for them. I know that when I asked this, I got like all kinds of crazy things. A lot of people said the weekends and, I don't want to do the weekends just because for me, I work so much already. I try to sort of carve the weekends out for my family. You know, my wife gives me pretty dirty looks if I try to work over the weekend, God bless her soul. But, if you guys have a suggestion during the week, I think I'm going to try to keep it. I'm in Pacific time. So I think I'm going to try to keep it 1 PM Pacific. It's kind of nice in the sense that, you know, it's right after lunch. So people might have some free time, to get in, jump in right after lunch. And then it's also kind of right before evening commute. So people kind of at the end of their work. You know, if you've got a day job and you're doing Amazon on the side, that might not work as well for you, but, we'll do the recordings. And then maybe once in a while we'll maybe change it up just so people who missed it, during the week can maybe catch it, you know, maybe we'll do it like early in the morning, late at night, you know, something like that. But it'll probably be during office hours, unfortunately. All right. So everybody's unmuted.
Thanks, Andy, for putting this together. It's been some great information. I'm excited about the future.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, this is a really fun format. I've definitely super enjoyed this format, and I think definitely something I want to do more of. I really like how I get to interact with you guys. It's not just me spouting at you. All right.
Thanks, Andy.
Hey, thanks everyone. And if you don't jump in on a future session before the holidays, happy holidays. And if you're in a place that doesn't celebrate the holidays, happy December. And hopefully, I'll be the kid that helps you up into the treehouse. All right, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, sellerseo.com and amazingathome.com.